Hey everyone, real quick before we start the show, come see Jenny and me and all of our favorite comedy friends at our monthly Hack City Comedy Show. The next one's happening Friday, April 12th, 7:30 p.m. at Union Hall in Brooklyn. This month we've got Ann Chun, Mika Mo, Riki Sim, and Serena Weir Sakari. You never know who's going to stop by though. It's a great time. It's always fun. I'll be there this month. Tickets available at asiannotasianpod.com and in the episode description, or just Google Hack City Comedy. See you there. And I have to realize that for him, because he's so new, that is so literally new. The worst thing that's ever happened to him.
Yeah.
So this might be an appropriate response. Dude, this place...
Okay, everything falling apart.
Okay, first of all, welcome to the Asian Not Asian podcast, the podcast with all your favorite Asian friends. It's Mike Nguyen.
And it's Jenny Arimoto.
It is March 9th, and we are recording from purgatory. We are in our favorite place, Pirate Studios. It is a war zone in here.
It is
like purgatory. Yeah. It's quiet.
It really is.
From what I can understand about purgatory, purgatory is fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
And this place is fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I guess, I don't know if purgatory is fine. That's also a crazy statement, I think.
Isn't it supposed to be,
nothing, right?
Well,
it's like you're waiting.
You're waiting.
That's actually worse, I think.
I think that is worse.
Like a waiting room is worse than like just good or bad. You know what I mean? Like, let's just get into it.
I feel I should know, what is it? Like this stuff, because it's like a Catholic idea.
Yeah.
Like you're just... So I don't know if it's ever been described somewhere. Maybe I missed that Sunday when they had the pamphlet.
Yeah. You're paying attention every Sunday.
Yeah. When I went to church, I would just mainly scope out the babes. And so I was in high school. So like, I feel like if it's supposed to be like a place where you're just kind of waiting for your sins to be burned away or something. I don't know. But yeah, I think if it was just a white nothing room, that would be horrible.
Horrible.
I'm actually always afraid that like if I die, it's not hell or heaven. I think I could handle hell.
You can handle hell. I mean, I love that. I'm pretty strong.
But just like
I can handle hell.
But you know,
I know nothingness is like
nothingness.
Worse.
Woo. Anyways, that's where we're recording from. We're recording from nothingness.
Nothingness.
You know, before we get started, just want to give you a couple announcements. The next Hack City, we just had ours last night, and some amazing fans came out, and we hung out, and it was great. So come by. The next one's April 12th at Union Hall in Brooklyn. Check out the episode description for tickets. Also, you know what? Asian month is coming. I'm just going to call it Asian month.
Yeah.
I know it's not supposed to be called that, but Asian month is coming up. So, we're getting booked for a couple things. And it would be great if we could hang out with you, you know? Like, if you got something, you need some diversity, then hit us up. We're always available to interested in doing things. So, let us know. Just hit us up at asiannotasianpod@gmail.com. And that's always really nice. Jenny, did you have your magic mind this morning? Did you have some?
Not this morning.
Yeah.
But because it's here.
Right. Exactly. I still have mine over here.
But I love it.
I like it. I drink this all the time. Literally.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Drink it with my coffee.
I know. So what it is like, it's a little energy shot thing. I don't even want to say if it's an energy thing. It's just like they call it a productivity elixir.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's just a nice way to kind of center yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you the jitters, which is nice because I have plenty of jitters already from the coffee that I drink.
Yeah, just naturally.
Exactly. I'm a hummingbird. So it is just a nice little weight. I pair it with my coffee. So I like, do this and then I have my coffee normally.
And it just tastes good.
It tastes good. It's
matcha-y.
It's matcha-y, right? They say it on here, subtly sweet, which is exactly how an Asian aunt would describe the perfect dessert.
Yes. The highest compliment of desserts.
Highest compliment.
It's not too sweet.
Not too sweet.
Mm-hmm. But just enough.
But just enough. And why aren't you married yet? You know, that's the way. Yeah. So the way, you know, Magic Mind describes themselves is they promised, you know, to use only the world's best suppliers. They require rigorous testing of every ingredient for every production run, and they readily provide certificates of analysis for all of our ingredients for anyone who wants to know. So, you know, they take this stuff very seriously, and they test every batch. So again, that's Magic Mind, and check it out.
I'm literally drinking mine right now.
I guess I'll have some right now too.
It tastes really good.
It tastes great. Cheers.
Hey, cheers to that.
Oh yeah, it smells good.
I'm also hungover, so this is helpful.
Oh yeah. Also, let's get into our Patreon. Patreon is the best way to support the podcast. It's patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. There's different tiers, and you know what? We just always appreciate you guys. So we always will give you a shout out and try to guess your ethnicity. So this one, Evelina Chang.
Wow.
Evelina Chang.
She sounds like a Harry Potter character. Right?
She's Cho Chang's best friend.
Evelina. But like Evelina is also like such a cool name.
It's a cool name. Yeah. I mean, was Cho Chang a Ravenclaw? Was she Ravenclaw?
I mean,
do you remember?
Jesus Christ, probably.
Right?
Don't you think it's like, because it Cho feels... Chang was literally like an Asian stereotype.
Yes.
So you know they were like, she's really smart. She studies hard. Like, her name's Cho Chang. I'm sure she was a Ravenclaw.
I always thought when I was reading those books that, you know, the baddies would be in, you know, would be in a Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
You know, the bad shorties.
Wow. You know? I did not read it that way.
Yeah. That's why I was like,
I thought they were just the fucking nerds.
I thought that would be like, yeah, that's like Hufflepuff. Hufflepuff.
This is the most millennial conversation ever.
I've been thinking about how millennial I am. I'm so millennial. Anyway, so okay, Evelina Chang, you're at Ravenclaw.
Yeah, you're a Ravenclaw.
You know what? You've got the thing where you're like, should I be friends with the other Asian person at the school?
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of Asian people at the school.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're like, well, should I, you know, we already got the same, you know, same last name, Chang. And so you're like, should I be Cho Chang's friend or should I not? I don't know. Harry seems like kind of a weird guy. He's got a lot of history. So, you know.
He's like a drama king.
So dramatic.
Yeah, so dramatic.
We like, get it. You're the boy who lived.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I just wanted to go to school. I'm like, you know, like that's it.
You know, she's like, listen, I'm going to SUNY Stony Brook.
Yeah. Where I can actually like, go to school.
Well, I can actually fucking learn.
Yeah, learn. Is it possible? And focus.
Is there? Can a person learn about?
Yeah, she's just above it all.
Yeah,
you know,
she is above it all.
Yeah, she's like, this is such a waste of time. Like the Dementors.
Much. Right.
Shut the fuck up,
dude. Is there even an ACT prep course here offered? No, there isn't. Fuck off. Again, that's patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. The best way to support the podcast. And yeah. You know, this is just a little check-in thing. I have an overarching question. Maybe everything nests under there.
Sure.
But it doesn't, you know, we can just kind of just see what we see.
Yeah.
The question I had is, when is it time to move out of New York City?
Oh, someone's been thinking about it.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I've been thinking about it.
Okay.
Partially because, you know, the kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, so what happened was, there's a lot of things in New York City that is always trying to push you out. You know, I feel like rent.
It's a hard place to live.
Cost of living, everything.
Yeah.
But I've always found that, like, it's never something big. It's always this little small thing, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Of course.
That's going to be like, fuck this.
Of course, of course.
And for me, I had a moment like that. I got so upset, dude. I just had to, okay, so I have like a big closet that's in the living room, right? It's just like a storage closet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where I had to like move like my toolbox. I have a toolbox and I usually keep it up really high, but I didn't want to do that anymore. So I wanted to keep it low. But everything in there was like perfectly placed, you know, in like perfect equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
And now me moving that one thing just like fucked up, you know, like it was like a cartoon where all the beach balls were falling on me, you know? Yeah. And I was so upset. I was just like, why can't this, you know, because I have to maximize every inch in New York City.
Sure.
So I was like, I can't even move one block of my life, one little insignificant toolbox, without everything getting totally fucked. And I was so mad. I was so mad at myself that I made myself sleep on the couch. Does that make sense?
What?
Yeah, I slept on the couch. I was so
For
mad.
Real?
Yeah. I was like, fuck this. I don't deserve this.
Oh my God. You self-punished?
Yeah, I self-punished.
Okay.
I self-punished. I went out. I sat up on the couch for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I had that's enough punishment. Then I went into my warm bed.
Okay.
And my wife was like, what's going on? And I was like, I'm just getting so mad, blah, blah, blah. And so it wasn't anything like, you know.
Huge.
No, it wasn't because I had a bad show. It wasn't because, you know, whatever. I was like having a bad time at work or something like that. It was just like this one little thing that just made me like flip out.
Yeah.
I was like flipped out.
Wow.
You know, but it's just like in anywhere else, it's you got. I'm not asking for a lot. I just need 2 by 2 by 2 feet more space.
You just want space.
Yes. That's all. I always feel that's all I need.
Yeah.
And then I can't have it. And so I just, and I slept on the couch.
Well, you are in a different phase of life now.
Yeah.
So I think that's a fair question about when is the time. I don't know when the time is.
Yeah.
But I understand why it happens. Why people leave.
Yeah.
With the baby.
It's not even the baby. I mean, it is the baby.
I mean, there's like just more stuff. You have another human being.
We do have a lot of stuff.
But there's just like what was 2 adults. Now you have also like a third child's amount of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like you need space.
I know. I don't know where I'm going. I don't want to leave or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, we had the show last night and it was really nice.
Uh-huh. So fun.
And one of my favorite parts of the show is going to and driving away from it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's nice to drive through the city. I'm not driving, the Uber
right.
driving. And it's just like, you know, it's just like very scenic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the Uber driver on the way there was just like playing some Usher. And I was like, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And that one song, that water song.
Yeah.
That song? It's just beautiful.
Water.
Yeah. I don't know why. I was just like, it just put me in such a good mood. The sun was going down. And I was like, this place rules.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah. I was on the brink of quitting comedy until I did the show. And I was like, this is fun.
Yeah. On the brink, baby.
And you said, that's just doing comedy.
That's just doing comedy.
As being on the brink of quitting comedy.
If you don't think about quitting comedy, you're not actually doing comedy.
I agree.
Every single person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so nesting under that, how are you doing? How's your 2024 treating you?
It's honestly pretty fire.
That's great.
I mean, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. You know, once I recovered from my freak out, you know, I was like, okay, everything's fine. My son is going to do soccer, like school class, mm-hmm. soccer class.
I can't believe it.
I don't
He's
know what
so
it is.
So little.
Yeah, I know. It's for 2 and 3 year olds.
Yeah, it's so cute.
Oh my God. I can't wait. Can I say too that, you know, I feel that when I was growing up, it was a pejorative to call someone like a soccer mom or a soccer dad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at you. It's like, it's supposed to be like emasculating.
Right.
It's not at all. It's the shit.
Yeah.
I have a station wagon.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna take my kid to soccer practice. I feel it is like such a privilege to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I can't fucking wait.
That's so cute.
And I'm going to make it real New York because it's at the park. And right nearby, there's a freaking fire bodega. So I'm going to have a fucking, you know, bacon, egg, and cheese every Saturday. Watch my son maybe understand the concept of soccer.
Okay. This is the thing, though. Most people don't become soccer dads with a child that's under the age of 2. That's like, so, like, it was just, the turn happens so fast.
It really does. It really
For
did.
You.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
I know. I don't know what happened.
Like, it just like, it's like usually happens like maybe like a couple more
years.
Yeah. But you were like, well, I'm a soccer dad now. It's like, interesting. Your child just learned to walk.
You know what it is, though? It's that I, you know, maybe I'm on TikTok too much, but I've been exposed to a lot of aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
Like not just different aesthetics, but also the concept of aesthetics.
I know.
Like,
it's a new, they call everything
everything's
an aesthetic.
Everything's an aesthetic,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel that I am very excited about the, what I call, you know, prosperous middle class aesthetic.
I see.
You know?
You are kind of chasing that right now.
I mean, aren't we all, right? So
I don't know about that. Aren't we all?
But just like, a very specific, like, you know, 1993 Volvo version.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's literally like what my dad was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yo, your dad, dude.
I have all these pictures of us like on, like with the soccer pictures, you know?
Did you play soccer?
Yeah, all three of us did.
That's cute.
And then there's like a picture of all three of us in our like soccer uniforms, like my dad's with a hat in the middle. Like, I'm like, that's
was
what you're
coach?
Working towards.
Did he coach or anything?
I don't think he might have assisted. He didn't know anything. He's not like a soccer person.
Okay.
But I think he loved going to sports, like games.
That's cool.
Like to watch us.
So did you, I thought you were a swimmer though.
Yeah, I was a swimmer.
Okay. So like later on you became a swimmer.
Yeah. Well, we were doing both.
And did...
soccer was like not too super serious.
Oh, I see.
But like swimming was all year round.
Was your dad at like a lot of your meets and everything?
Yeah. When I played water polo in high school, he came to every single game. Every season.
See?
Isn't that crazy? I think I took it for granted.
Yeah.
Until now, where I backwards realized that that's wild. Because our games are like at 3:30 p.m. Like when you're a child, like, I'm not thinking about
that's like abnormal.
Like
left work or whatever to go do it. How did he even do it?
Because he worked alone. So then, but that was in part why he did that. So isn't that so sweet? But I did not realize that till this, in my 30s. I was like, whoa, what the heck?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, if I, at my desk job, I don't think I could just leave and be like, my kid has a water polo game, got to dip out at 2:30.
Dude, I mean, I always think, like, because for him, you know, he's going through his terrible twos, and he'll have a tantrum. And, like, I don't even get that upset because, let's say he can't watch Bluey. Like, he wakes up from a nap, he can't watch Bluey because I said no. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really mad, right? And he's, like, stomping his feet and, like, making himself like a little curly Q. And I have to realize that for him, because he's so new, that is so literally the worst thing that's ever happened to him.
Yeah.
So this might be an appropriate response. You know what I'm saying? He's like, no, I can't watch.
Yeah, he's like, you don't even understand what this experience is like for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I always think like, you know, he's new at all this stuff. He doesn't realize that like all these machinations are happening in the background in order for him to, you know, have this soccer thing and play whatever, you know, like I have to earn X amount of money and I have to, you know, plan my day around it. It just happens.
I know.
Which is, I mean, I can't wait.
Yeah.
You know, for more of that to happen. So,
Then eventually when he's in his 30s, he's going to look back and go, oh my God.
I hope.
Yeah.
I mean,
Or maybe he won't.
I mean, I don't know. I do think there is something to, is I always remember, even when I was in college, how much I was like, towards the end of college, I started to realize, oh my God, my parents are really doing a lot for me. But even when I was like a freshman or a sophomore, I was like, I was a dick about it. And I was like, why can't I have this? You know,
like
I just thought money just came out of nowhere.
Totally.
I didn't think about where the money came from. So I was like, why can't I, you know, live in this apartment or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's like somebody has to pay for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, so I do try to you know, aspire to have this certain lifestyle so that my son can have a certain lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. You want to provide.
Yeah. And I'll be sending you videos.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Like literally I cannot wait.
Really?
It's gonna be so 2 and 3 year olds playing quote unquote soccer.
Yeah.
It's just gonna be a bunch of little kids running around
in
trying
circles
to kick a ball.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so cute.
I have to figure out how to dress him. I'm not sure. You know?
Yeah. What the heck do you wear? It's not like you wear shin guards too. Like cleats.
Can you wear just the tiniest shin guards? They're just like little,
They'd be so small.
Sticks.
I know.
It's just like
so
this tall.
Cute. Yeah.
Does he even have shins?
I don't think so. They're so soft, I bet.
Yeah, I know. These are so floppy.
Yeah.
Does the craziness of everyday life leave you stressed and shedding? Since having kids, have you started seeing a little bit more of your scalp? Or has menopause impacted your hormones and your hairline? When it comes to thinning hair, there are many root causes at play, and Nutrafol addresses them through a multi-targeted, whole-body approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Nutrafol's 3-minute quiz determines which underlying root causes are keeping you from reaching your hair potential. By analyzing your lifestyle, biology, hair history, as well as environmental triggers, Nutrafol creates a hair health plan that is tailored to your hair's needs. I use Nutrafol, and what I like about it is that it's quick and easy and natural and gives me more confidence in my hair growth. I know this sounds crazy, but since I started using it, I feel more confident in how my hair looks and feels. You can purchase it online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months.
Start your hair growth journey today by taking Nutrafol's Hair Wellness Quiz and get your personalized hair health plan today. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping at Nutrafol.com/quiz when you enter the promo code Asian. Take the quiz and get started on reaching your hair wellness goals with Nutrafol today. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code Asian. That's Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code Asian. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So I'm supposed to sit here and tell you what I would do if I had an extra hour a day, and I've been thinking about it for a little bit, and it's tough. Maybe I'd do more jiu-jitsu, maybe I'd podcast more, or maybe I'd just try to get like 50 more minutes of sleep and then 10 more minutes of scrolling mindlessly through my phone, and then I'd feel guilty about wasting my magical hour. I guess that's the thing, it's hard to figure out what you'd do if you had more time unless you really think about what your priorities are. But therapy is one way to do just that, figure out your priorities so you can put them first in your life. I've done therapy, and I've used what I've learned from therapy to help me understand what my priorities are and what my values are. For me, it wasn't like a magic bullet, but the more I learned about myself, the more I've learned to understand my values, and honestly, the happier I've become. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can always switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Asian today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Asian.
How fun.
Anyway, so I don't know, like that's the thing. We can come back to it.
Yeah.
But you know, like you were thinking about quitting comedy. how are you doing?
My 2024 has been a lot worse than yours.
Has been?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not even that anything bad is happening to me. I just feel like I've been back in therapy and it's been hitting this time.
Oh yeah.
I've been like working through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of things are shifting in the world of comedy. I don't know if you feel this. The fact that JFL is bankrupt.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Actually JFL hit me hard this week. Okay. Not even in a way where it's like, that's my goal. It was just, so JFL is just for laughs. And
explain
it's like
what
a,
it is for our listeners.
It's like just like a long standing comedy festival. That usually like bubbles up like new faces, and almost always it's a bit of a pipeline to TV. Like historically, like it used to be a pipeline into SNL. People do characters, people do stand up.
Yeah.
A lot of SNL people are from JFL as well.
Right.
That are in the cast right now.
Yeah. And I think for a long time, it was like, this is more like in the 90s, but it could literally rocket you to stardom.
Yes. And a lot less now.
A lot less now.
But it's still like, because of the history of it,
it's a big notch.
It's like within at least comedy, it's like this like thing to validate you.
Oh, 100%.
And once again, that is not my goal because I don't do stand up or characters.
Yeah.
But it was just like this long-standing thing that I just thought would always be there because it's a marker of success.
Yeah.
They went bankrupt this week, or they announced it or whatever.
Right.
And they canceled the 2024 festival.
Yep.
And I multiple of my friends were doing the showcases.
Yeah.
To try to get on.
Yeah.
So then I was like, because I was feeling like, okay, well maybe I'm not doing a ton of stuff, but like people around me are like, I'm in that level now where everyone's like either there or has gotten it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So it went under. So that was like the final thing that I was like, what's happening right now? Like comedy's kind of not even comedy, like media and like the comedy world is kind of like not what it used to be. So there was like that was just like capped off by JFL stuff. I mean, prior to that, it's just like I'm not doing well on the internet.
Yeah.
But also everyone's like, I don't see your stuff. And I'm like, against the algorithm. I mean, like,
you really? I see your stuff, but then
I know, but I think we interact with our things. But like, I just like, I'm doing record lows on my social media.
It's definitely all crazy. Yeah.
Like record lows. Wow. And so then I don't want to post anymore because I'm like, because I do put a little too much effort into my stuff.
I
don't want to put effort in
if
it's not going to be seen, because what is the point?
Yeah.
So then I don't do that. And like, media side, like writing side, things are shifting too. There's mass layoffs at like all publications. You know what I mean? Even like the New Yorker's not posting in the way that they used to. Yep. They used to post every day. No longer. My assumption is they don't want to pay.
Yes.
Because each of those articles are paid.
Right.
So there's like less outlets there. Anyways, there's just a combo of a lot of stuff. And then the theater that I perform at, the opening has been delayed since we thought it was going to be November.
Yes.
Not open yet.
Upright Citizens. Yeah. UCB.
Yeah. UCB is not open yet, but teams are formed.
Right.
So I'm like writing towards a nothing right now. No date.
So are you guys meeting and doing all this stuff? So the work is happening.
Yeah, like, because they're like, it could happen, but there's no timeline. At this point, we're guessing it's going to be May, June. Mm. But we were cast in October.
Mm.
So I feel like I'm in a holding pattern. I feel like nothing is happening. Also, post-strike, like I feel like everyone who's in the industry is like, the industry's crazy weird right now.
Super
and
weird.
Hard.
Yeah.
So I'm like hearing...
More than normal.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like everyone's like, it's a mess.
Yeah.
At every level.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of like spiraled out. I was like, I'm not feeling particularly motivated to do comedy. I don't feel like the ecosystem that I knew before exists anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like what the way to succeed in 2018 when I first moved to New York is no longer here in 2024.
Yeah, yeah. That model is like broken.
It's broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I'm like, what is the point? What is the point? I don't know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And just like any other job, it feels like a job.
Yeah.
It feels like a job, but it's even worse. Not worse, but it's like harder because it's self-motivated.
Yeah.
And creative. So it's like not even just like I can, you know, bust out an Excel sheet and then be like, made it in comedy.
Yeah,
you know. So that kind of spiral has been happening slowly this 2024. I'm trying to find that spark again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to work on not relying so much on external validation to feel good about myself. So I'm really trying to shift it to internal. It is hard to be like, I'm worth it.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm worth it if everyone in the room laughs and they all like my TikToks, like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to shift that.
Mm-hmm.
Every outlet that I had to get validation is like kind of gone right now.
Oh, shit.
Because of all those reasons I just stated. So like, yeah, it's been like a tough year for me feeling good. So it's been a lot of like, nothing once again has happened to me. It's just that I'm like in my head.
Yeah.
And like kind of spiraling.
What about sort of the community aspect? Are you getting, you know, like talking to people? Are you like meeting people, hanging out?
I'm not meeting people, but I am like trying to, I'm like not shutting it off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not cocooning in the way I do sometimes when I like spiral. It does always make me feel better to talk to people at different, as like I am trying to get out of my little bubble of improvisers, you know, hanging out with friends of the pod. Like I hung out with like Karen and Jess and Julia and like it always feels very validating to like be with people who are also doing their thing and like paying rent through their art. Like that is the most motivating factor. And everyone's just so nice, you know? But I am seeing people. I'm not necessarily networking though. Like I'm not like,
yeah, I guess I don't mean networking.
Meeting people.
I mean, I was never, I had like a little talk with, this is like for my, you know, day job thing, but I had a talk. I talked to like somebody who wanted to get into the kind of work that I do. And it's so interesting because I remember someone when I was his age, someone telling me kind of the same advice.
Which, yeah.
And it's like, you know, put yourself out there. And
yeah.
I did say networking. And I, for any young folks listening, when I say network, I don't mean in like a hi. You know, I feel like it's like a 80s way to like, hi, how's it going? My name is Brad Bradenshaw.
Yeah.
here's my business card. And I'd love to talk to you about ING Industries. You know what I'm saying? Like, really what I just mean with networking is just like find cool people that you like that you want to hang out with.
Oh, totally.
You know, and it doesn't have to be like deep hangouts.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like.
Spend time with them.
Like, that's how I've always kind of. Any success I've really had is because someone who just thinks I'm cool gave me a break.
It's true.
You know?
I've just relied so much on people bringing me up.
Yeah.
Like, because I think I kind of rode that this whole way. Like, like even UCB stuff, like I didn't think I was particular. I thought it was good compared to other people, but then I wasn't like, I never thought I was like the best.
Yeah.
And it was like a teacher being like emailing me directly after I finished my courses that was like, I don't want you to stop. Yeah. So let me put you in contact with other people who yes. are a little bit above you. And that, and then he put me in shows, and then that gave me the confidence yep. to audition. Yep. Like, yep. it's like, I always rely on like external people. Mm. And this is the first time where I'm like, I need to drive this myself. Mm. And that's hard.
So what are those things, you know, like that like, you, what that are going to, you're going to drive with, you know?
Well, I don't know. Like I have to like write, I have to do my own projects. Yeah. I have to like figure out what my next steps are now that this theater structure doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Or doesn't exist right now, or it doesn't exist in the form that it did when like Broad City happened.
Oof.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm figuring it out. It just feels like this crazy landscape where everyone's figuring it out.
Yeah.
Comedians.
But it's kind of like exciting.
Kind of. I just refuse to be someone who posts online every day.
Yeah. But here's the thing too, and maybe I'm just reading this from my millennial news, but I read somewhere like I can't remember the headline, but it was like, has TikTok, like the shine of it essentially come off? And the person pointed in particular to the fact that like there's some sort of monetization feature where yes. now everyone can push like a lot of products yeah. and stuff like that, which kills
TikTok
everything.
Shop.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I think before, like, you know, whether or not you like TikTok, at least it was very effective at
totally.
Just being like, here's a bunch of content
yeah.
and here's a bunch of like creativity,
right.
really, right? But now it's less that. Mm-hmm. It's moved into a phase where it's like, oh, we can't just like acquire users. We have to actually sell them shit.
I know. It's like a
whatever.
Maturity of a platform.
Yeah.
We've entered monetization.
Right,
phase.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there is that now too, where like, it's not just about, I think like the era of I'm going to put out TikToks and like have a breakthrough is kind of
over. I agree. I mean, I deleted TikTok off my phone.
Oh, you did?
Whenever I upload, I re-download, upload, and then I delete.
Oh.
Because I don't have fun on it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel the same. I don't know if you ever, I was a deep TikToker. Like,
no,
in terms of, I'm just like scrolling. And I realized like the last couple months, I'm like, I'm scrolling, but I'm having the worst time of my life.
Really?
Yeah. It's like not fun anymore because half of them are selling me things.
Oh, really?
Other half, it's like, it's always like what does well is like straight to camera, like having an opinion.
Yeah.
Which was fun when it was people like back in the day when it was just like not that many people doing it and it was like a hot take or whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's like everyone's trying to acquire followers. So everyone's doing that.
Everyone's doing hot
takes. And I'm like, why do I need to hear a random person tell me like a hot take that's not even a hot take?
Right.
So I'm like scrolling and I hate it. And I realized I was like, I deleted it for 1 week when I was feeling bad. And my screen time went down 66%.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
At one point, I got down to 50 minutes a day.
Whoa.
Without TikTok and Instagram.
Wow. Respect. 50 minutes?
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I was so happy.
Good job.
So I'm trying to stay off of it. It's just like not fun anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm also trying to be like, don't find your value on social media.
No.
And I'm also just trying to be more fun on Instagram. Because I used to be so concerned about how I present myself. And now I'm like, I'm just going to post whatever I want. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Anyways, that has been kind of my comedy journey
right.
this year. And I'm still trying to find it.
I think it's so telling that JFL has went bankrupt. And like that TikTok is also like, not going bankrupt, but like has to get like a grown-up job.
Yeah.
You know? It's like all this creativity we do. At the end, we still just have to like, sell tires or something.
I know. At the end of the day, it's advertising.
We gotta sell tires.
I know.
That's what it is. Or we need like just an infusion of cash from the Saudis.
It just makes me be like, man, having a 9-to-5, it sucks in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But you get a paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Than this, which is like fighting to be like, give me a chance.
Yes. Anything.
Anything. Yeah. So I've been kind of dealing with that.
Okay.
Well, last couple months.
Well, we love you.
Hey, thanks.
We're a fan.
Hey, thanks.
I don't know why I'm talking about like I'm
like
a hive mind.
Yeah.
We love you.
We love you. Yeah. That's my main update when it comes to comedy stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, every time I see, you know, you hanging out with Jess and everybody, I'm like, I'm jealous, man. I am. You're like, oh, you're out there, you're doing your thing. Yeah.
I mean, I love hanging out with comedians.
That's work, you know?
I guess
it's not work as in like you don't want to, but it's part of it. But like, you know,
it's the only thing keeping me going is like when I spend time with funny people.
Yeah.
And then it's so fun, but they also think I'm funny.
Yes.
That's like the only thing. Like those are the moments where I'm like feel a surge of like excitement towards it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then JFL will go under and then I lose it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always surprised at JFL or any comedy festival. Like, if you really think about what is the business model? What is the business model?
Yeah.
I guess it's like have people come and then sell tickets and sell them drinks.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Everything comes down to like refreshments or whatever, right? That's how you make your margin.
Yeah.
Right. So the fact that it didn't go bankrupt for all these years, I'm like, I'm
let's just celebrate that.
That's good job.
Yeah. It held out till 2024.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Since like the 80s or whatever.
Yeah.
Like no business does that, especially a business that like essentially is, and comedy is like professionally losing money. Like,
totally.
My job is to lose money as fast as possible.
Yeah. And like, I'm succeeding.
Yeah. Like I did a show this week actually where, and I said this on stage, but it's, one of the things they do is like to give everybody a party hat, like one of those like birthday party hats.
Yeah.
And I was like, that one thing, that buying party hats would put the show in the red.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they're sitting there at
100%.
And they're like on Temu and they're like, can we afford 50 count party
hat? That is so real.
It's $1.50.
Yeah. I mean, I actively lost money in comedy until very recently, you know, buying props and stuff. So embarrassing.
Isn't buying props like the funniest thing ever?
It's so funny. Before the pandemic, when I was doing sketch comedy regularly, I ordered 3 military helmets for a sketch.
Did one of them end up with Brian Park?
No.
Oh, okay. Because
why?
Because like he did a sketch where
I think he bought that.
Did he?
I'm
he
sure
also
he did.
See? Like the only people who buy military helmets are like like right wing extremists and comedians.
And Brooklyn comedians. I bought it for a sketch and I share a Amazon account with my family.
Yeah.
And so my mom saw it.
Yeah.
And that was also the period where I loved talking about cults. I mean, I love talking about cults all the time, but I would talk about it so much that she was like, she thought I joined a cult.
Okay.
Because I bought military helmets. Or like I was like brainwashed by something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she like checked in with me. She's like, is everything okay? I was like, yeah, why? She's like, I just, you've been talking a lot about cults and religion. And also I saw you buy military gear on Amazon. And I was like, it's actually more embarrassing than joining a cult. It was for a live sketch comedy show.
She's like, what? Have you thought about joining a cult?
Yeah. Oh, that's bad. Have you heard of Scientology? Yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
That I feel you would be qualified to answer as a young woman. Why do women like cults so much, like learning about cults?
I think, I don't know if it's a woman thing.
Is
do you think
not?
It's a woman thing?
Okay. I think
it's like true crime, maybe?
I think it's a woman thing to like true crime. And I kind of get that one because it's like.
So I actually like cult stuff more than true crime.
Okay. Are they, does it come from the same stem, you know?
Probably it's like, I have read stuff about why people like true crime. I forgot what it is. I forgot what the reasoning is. Here's why I like cult stuff.
Okay.
Because it's often so insane that I'm like, what is it that led to someone?
Yes.
Like, what series of things will lead you to be okay, like moving to a commune where you wear all red?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what is that series of events?
Yeah.
Or like, put all your money into a random dude who showed up in your town and was like,
right.
I can fix you.
Yes.
And like, the most common one, or like, the most recent ones are like, how you like a random person is streaming online, and then people will just be like, just like start slowly being like, that's it, that's the thing, and then like go live with that person.
Oh shit!
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm like I've never once seen anything online where I'm like, I like that person enough to send them money.
Yeah.
Ever.
Let alone like move my family to live with.
Yeah. So I always am like curious about what series of circumstances leads to that like.
Yeah.
Thing. I say that like I don't do UCB comedy.
Right, which is also...
Which is I put so much money into that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, my wife is always making fun of me because I have my jujitsu cult.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, she thinks it's just like, you just pay money and then like, they reward you with things. You know what I'm saying? And the more you are you know, attend the
exactly
work, the workshops or whatever,
yeah,
the higher you go
exactly
in ranks. And I'm like, oh, it's not, oh, it is, it's cult.
Yeah, everything. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of things that are cultish about a lot of things, but it's different than moving to the middle of nowhere, Arizona, with a woman who's like, I'm your god.
So have you found, so from watching these cult documents, is there like a thread? Is there something where you're like, oh, generally it's...
It's almost always someone who's like down on their luck and like looking for a message that resonates with them.
Yeah.
And then like just like that, like then you build a community.
Yes.
With other people who are like, I also believe the same thing. And then you just like, that becomes your whole life.
Yeah.
And then you're like, that becomes a norm. You're like, of course she's God. Duh. Like every, like, you know, you're in a room full of people. They're like, she's God.
She's God. Hey God, you want mayo on your sandwich? Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
No. What?
Okay, that's for real. Yeah.
Are we serious?
There's like this HBO one, and she's just like, she had like a, she basically created a cult like through online stuff.
Yeah.
All these people would move, and then slowly she like created like a menu of foods that she liked, and then like people would have to cook it, and then she was like, she would have tantrums if like the nachos were not the way she wanted it. She liked certain sauces and stuff, so she was like, Mother God's not happy with the way the nachos turned, the celestial nachos turned out or whatever. And it is that, it's like, it, I was like, this lady just wanted service.
Yeah.
Like room service for free. But that's why I'm like, how do we get to that point?
Are you, wait, okay, because the way you just asked us just now is, how can we get to that point? Because we, I kind of want to start a cult now.
I know.
I want my nachos
well,
done a
certain
way. Well,
literally when I saw her do her live her life, not that I would run it the same way. I would totally do it differently.
It's a totally different cult,
totally
everybody.
Totally different cult. Like if I do a cult, it'll be so different.
It's
going to
be super chill, everybody.
It'll be so chill, so safe. Yeah. So fun. But watch, I was like, I get why she did it.
Yeah.
She like feels loved,
right?
Adoration,
yes.
Free nachos. Do you know what I mean? Like she would pool everyone's money and then buy a hot tub for herself.
Oh,
it's like
shit.
That.
Yeah,
she's like, Mother God wants a hot tub. Mm. Everyone would put all their resources in, buy a hot tub,
but only she could use the hot tub.
But
or is it everybody could use?
I think everyone
could
use it, but she obviously gets to use it when she wants
to. You have preference.
Yeah,
I guess God has preference on.
She would take a nap every day, and then they would be like, "Don't disturb her. She's having a meeting." With like all the people above, like that was her meeting time. So everyone's like, that's actually really important time. And all she was doing was taking a nap. And I was like, that's what I want. Like I have a daily nap and everyone's like, don't bother her. She's doing really important business.
You know what though? as this is what it takes for a woman to take care of herself. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is for a woman to have her needs met. She just needs to start a cult.
Yeah, I know.
Protect that nap time.
Yeah.
You know, self-care.
On this International Women's Day, every woman gets to start a cult.
Every woman starts a cult.
You deserve it.
Be the cult leader you want to be, you know?
Break that glass ceiling.
And talk to God, yeah. Because you are God on earth.
I was watching and I was like, that is, that's a true girl boss.
Yo.
True girl boss. Yeah.
Did you know one of the Asian boss girls has moved to New York?
You know? No.
You know who they are? You know who they are.
The podcast?
Yeah, the podcast. Yeah. Lifestyle people.
I was like, I thought you were going to say, did you know one of them joined a cult? And I was like, oh, no.
No, one of them, I think Melody.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to try to get her on the show. She's like moving to New York. Either she's about to move or she just moved or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I follow her on Instagram. So that kind of also got me thinking into like, I'm always surprised like people want to move here. Like for
but
me,
you at one point wanted to move here.
I did, but that was like when I was like a just like a single I don't know what to call it, ruffian. I was so millennial.
Right.
Was like, you know, I was the guy with the American Apparel and I was like into you know, like pour over coffee. I guess I still am. But like, you know, like riding fixed gear bicycles.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. I moved here, you know, partially because I was pursuing this relationship with my wife, but also it's just like I have nothing to lose.
Right.
I'm crazy. You know, yeah. Like this is gonna be chill, you know?
Sure.
But now it's like with everything, like the cost of living here and everything, I'm like, I'm always still surprised that people want to be here. But then also at the same time, I can't imagine living anywhere. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. But I do think there is still something about New York.
Oh fuck.
It's just so expensive.
Is New York City a cult?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to leave it.
It's really hard to leave.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
We're in a cult. There's no other place But there's also just like so few cities.
Yeah, there's not a lot of
where it's like walkable. You know what I mean? With like culture in America. So what can you do? We're stuck here.
Is it a very millennial thing, you think, to like want to move and like have like a city life? You think maybe Gen Z doesn't want to do that?
No, I think Gen Z wants that too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think Gen Z is like moving out to the fields and being like farming's where it's at.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Cause like, I was reading this article about big pants and like how
big pants
are really in now.
Yeah, they are really in now.
Yeah. You know? And it was written by this guy who's probably like my age, right? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how, you know, for a long time, people were very resistant to slim jeans, and the millennial marker is like to wear skinny jeans.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was like 25, I couldn't find jeans that were skinny enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually wore women's Levi's skinny jeans.
Wow.
I'm a size 14 Levi's. And it was super, super slim and like low cut.
Yeah.
You know? You know, at the time, it was like subversive to wear that.
Totally.
You know? I was like, hey, you're wearing women's jeans. Yeah. It's so tight. Now it's whatever 10 years, 15 years later, I'm like, oh, I could see the next generation would think that is really like, I don't know. That's just like such a signifier of a generation.
Sure.
That I don't want to do that at all.
Yeah.
So then maybe the fact that like millennials are all like, we watch Sex and the City and we're like, let's live in the city and watch, you know, Girls or whatever the fuck. And we all like want to live in the city. So maybe Gen Z wants to do the opposite and be like, I'm going to start like farming and shit. I don't know. Millennials do that too. But you know, like a reaction to that.
Right.
You
know? I mean, we'll find out.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they're all like what in their early 20s, like teens.
It's happening.
Now.
It's happening.
Like, we're going to see what the next iteration is.
Yeah.
But I also think it's going to be like, if we can barely afford it, how can Gen Z afford?
I have no idea.
The city.
I don't know. How are they doing it?
Cause like it.
Tell us your secrets, Gen Z. You
know, seriously, like I don't know what's gonna happen.
I wanna hug every Gen Z person, dude. Honestly.
But they are gonna be disgusted by you.
Oh.
They hate us.
Hold on. First of all, understandable.
Yeah. We're hated by everybody.
We're hateable. We're hateable. It's because of our skinny jeans and stuff like that.
I get it.
Yeah. But that's why I'm trying to like, you know, I'm trying to lean into more the fact that I'm a Zek. Ex-lennial?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So, hey, don't blame me. I'm an ex-lennial.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like firmly millennial. You can blame me. Someone, I forgot who called me that. They're like, oh, you're firmly millennial. It might be young me. Oh, you're firmly
really?
Millennial. And
yeah.
I was like, I am firmly millennial.
Yo, yeah.
Because I think I present younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when she found out my age, she was like, oh, you're firm millennial. And I was like, I'm firm millennial.
Firm millennial.
Like squarely a millennial. Yeah.
What made her say that?
Because I think she thought I was Gen Z cusp.
Oh.
And she was like, no, you're firm millennial. I am like, I'm not Gen Z cusp, I'm firm millennial. Yeah.
But did you do something in particular, or was it just like an observation?
No, that's just when I was blonde.
Oh. Yeah. That's so weird that like, because, you know, when the blonde hair thing came out, everyone, that was so like, again, subversive. It was like, hey, cool.
I know.
But now it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe
it's just
maybe
a life phase everyone hits now.
Yeah.
Everyone has to. Like, every Asian girl has to be blonde for a second.
Yeah.
It's part of your arc.
The story arc, baby. We talked about this the other day. I got scammed the mm-hmm. other day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sucked. I got my debit card.
Right.
I don't even know how
that is my question.
Anymore.
Was it a leak or something? Do you use your debit card?
I mean, you know, yeah, I have my bank card. It's on my phone and like I have the physical one, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I use that all the time. But like, you know, I think it's pretty secure. I do think maybe there was a leak because like that data was stored somewhere, you know, like in whatever website.
Yeah,
and
so
that
scary.
Got leaked. And then, you know, so I was telling you and I was telling everyone at the show the other day that it was like, I have all these notifications on my phone. And first I got one that was like, You got this like Exxon Mobil charge. And I was like, okay, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got this thing and it's like somebody bought some food at like whatever, Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but it was in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, I don't think I went there. And then so I canceled, I turn off the, you know, you can freeze your phone or freeze your card from your app. And then it was like, but then it was too late and the next charge that came through, this is maybe like half an hour later. Fucking Airbnb for like $1,800.
Yeah.
And because it's debit, it's like full on cash. Like that's cash. That's right. Like gone.
Right. You know, direct from your account.
Direct from my account.
Yeah.
And it would like made me.
That's a lot of money.
It made me so bummed out, dude. I was like, it was just so stressful. You know.
Yeah,
like,
that's so stressful.
You know, like I worked so hard for it, and then it was just gone. And stuff like that. And somebody's. And I just thought it was kind of crazy because like, how does it work? Like, you use someone else's credit card to get this vacation, and then you show up at this house.
Yeah.
You know, I almost wanted to let it go through and just be like, what if I just, can I find out where this person is?
And then show up.
And just show up and be like, do you have $1,800?
Yeah. You know you owe me $1,800.
Yeah, you owe me $1,800. Or get
invoice
out.
Invoice them.
Yeah, exactly. It was just so strange. And like, I don't know. I was annoyed, obviously, at the money thing. And then like the fact that I had to like call all these different people.
Yeah.
Like, the bank and shit like that. And it's weird because I called the bank. They're like, well, we have to look into it. And I'm like, what is there to look into?
Right.
Like, I'm telling you, I didn't do this. Mm-hmm. Do you think I'm lying to you?
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? It was so weird.
I guess you could be lying.
I guess I could be.
And be like, I just regret that purchase. So like, help me.
Right. Happen. That feels like a very checkable story.
But like even the fact that it's like the charge and the Atlanta thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't live there.
I'm here.
That's like enough for me to. Like every purchase after that,
clearly my card has been compromised.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That is so. Because you told that story yesterday, yeah. I've been like scared.
Really?
Because like a credit card, you can cover that. Mm-hmm. They'll cover that because it's you haven't paid it yet.
Yeah.
But I am so scared now. That's a new fear unlocked.
Yeah. A new fear unlocked.
A new fear unlocked that like my debit card can get stolen and then I'm like screwed.
Yeah. I think that's
what do I do?
I think, yeah.
Have
I don't
no
know.
Money? Like, I'm like, or like, hide it in different little accounts. So
I do
it's like
move
limited.
A lot of money into like other places, which could also be hacked, I guess.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? So I try not to put those. Like, I have other savings accounts that like you put, and like, there's not like a check card for that or anything.
Yeah.
But I guess run everything through credit cards, which I feel is also kind of risky, but at least you're right, because with a credit card, you can like, just cancel it. You can just be like, you know, or like whatever, do a chargeback or whatever the fuck it is. And like the money can be like countered.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes I'm like, the internet was a curse because like it's so easy to steal that stuff. I think about the fact that if anyone got any of our phones, they have access to so much credit card, like financial information.
Yeah.
Because like with Apple Pay and all of that, like it's so crazy.
You have like, you got to turn on all your, I feel like this has become like a commercial for Capital One or something.
Yeah.
But like you should like turn on all the face IDs for every like app. You know what I'm saying? Because then it like requires like a second face ID like check.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I have it on.
Okay. Just in case.
But then I get, what if someone has the same features as me? My doppelganger gets my fucking phone.
No, you're a beautiful snowflake. Okay?
Thank you.
Come on, you know what I'm saying?
This is a complete left turn, but let me just say, in this year that I felt no control, I've really doubled down on working out.
Oh, yeah.
That is like my one thing I've been doing regularly to try to feel okay.
Okay.
Because I wasn't feeling great in my body. I think I just wasn't feeling like confident, and it was like stemming into like everything, like creativity, looks, like whatever. So I've been like, randomly training for a half marathon. I'm not running a half marathon. I'm training for a half marathon.
Oh, you're not signed up for it? I know you were training for it.
Yeah, I'm training for a half marathon alongside Julia Shiplett, friend of the pod. Simply because I was like, you know, I'm psychotic. Like, let's just like, I love schedules and habits.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's just do it. I was like, because I always feel better after I run and I wanted to get into running shape.
That's good.
And so I just like hate that exercise changes your life. I hate it.
What do you mean?
I hate it because it's like, I wish it didn't.
You mean what you wish?
Because you know,
wasn't
before
a
workout, you're like, ugh, oh, I don't want to work out. And then you work out and you're like, oh, it made me feel better.
Yes.
It worked.
Yes.
But it does work.
It does work.
But that, so that's the one thing I've been doing this year. Exercising like probably 5 to 6 times a week.
Oh my God.
Whether it's like yoga or running.
Right. Wow. Are you ready? Do you feel like you're... You're not signed up for the thing. Are you going to do like a capstone event thing where you like run something? You know?
I might sign up for a half marathon, just like not the same one.
Right.
Like a little bit farther in the future.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what the point of this is. I think my point of it was I was like, what if I get so skinny and the face ID can't even read my face? This is all to lead to that stupid thought that I had right now.
What if I get too hot?
What if I get so hot and then my face ID won't even work for me?
Bzz, bzz, you've been hacked by a hot girl.
bzz, bzz. She's like, this girl has too many muscles on her arms because she's been doing yoga regularly.
She's two-toned.
Yeah.
That would be like the craziest way for your phone to like burn you. Excuse me. The person who usually owns this phone is a fatty. Okay? Yeah.
Usually the person, with this one had no definition on their clavicle.
That's actually the next face. It's not face ID. It's clavicle ID.
Yeah, clavicle ID.
Let me see those clavicles.
This is the safest way. The safest way we can do this.
That's amazing. Okay. Well, we're only in March, but hang in there.
The way you should have heard me early February. I was like, this year's horrible.
This
Everyone's like,
sucks.
It is February 2nd.
It is only February.
And I was like, everything's falling apart. I'm not kidding. I was like, you should have heard. I'm like, glad that I didn't come on the podcast and absolutely bring the vibe down.
I think, everything is messed up. But, you know, that maybe, I don't know. That just means, it's like after the asteroid impact, that's where the mammals can, you know, come up now.
That was the least convincing speech I've ever heard. The least convincing motivational speech I've ever heard.
Yo, after the asteroid hits, the mammals can come up. Yeah. I'm putting that on a poster.
Do you ever have the thought, I don't know enough about anything? Because I've had that thought recently.
Are you kidding me? I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
I think about constantly how I'm a complete dumbass.
Yeah.
I don't know shit.
Like sometimes like certain comedians are so smart and they'll like know immediately like what reference to make, specific thing to say or like a fact. And I'm like, I have nothing of the sort to say. I don't know anything. Even talking about Harry Potter, I was like, I brought it up, but don't ask me any questions. I don't know anything. I'm like so stupid.
We love you. And, we love everyone who's listening. So thank you very much for listening to the episode. You know what? We haven't asked you to do this, but if you're checking this out on your phone, take a screenshot, post on our Instagram stories, tag us at Asian.AsianPod, leave a review on Apple Podcast. You can also follow us and leave a comment on Spotify. If you're watching on YouTube, shouts to YouTube, man. I feel we got like almost like a second cluster of fans on YouTube separate from the other main. Like,
I know some people prefer it.
Yeah, some people prefer it. So hi to YouTube. We got this new camera, and so hopefully it looks nice. Mm-hmm. And you can follow us and subscribe and leave a comment and of course tell all your friends. That's always the best way to support the podcast. Besides Patreon. So always you can find me there. I'm sorry. You can find me on social media, on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
And I'm at Jenny Arimoto.
And Jenny Arimoto. And of course, you can follow the podcast at Asian Not Asian Pod. Otherwise, we love you.
We love
you. Bye.